You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Side Community News. And today, do we have a lot to get to. First of all, the Pacers play tonight, which, of course, we will talk about first. They are playing Detroit at home. Maybe not a really important game, but getting that 20th win, the number I said would be the key number for them to reach by the end of March before their schedule eases up, would be very nice. They can get that tonight against a lesser Pistons team. So we'll preview that game. And then, of course, the stuff everybody's here for. There's been some rumblings on the Pacers front, both in the form of a bombshell, I would say, report from Yahoo Sports, as well as minor reports from The Ringer and ESPN, all about trades and camaraderie and yada, yada, yada. Lots to talk about. And I'll get to all that, I promise. But I like to talk about basketball first, because what is the point of these trades but to make the basketball product better, or sometimes worse if you're trying to tank. But anyway, we'll talk about the trade stuff, I promise. But let's talk about the Pistons first. Pacers-Pistons tonight in Indy. Injury report is interesting. Turner and Brogdon, both still questionable. Turner dealing with an ankle that he hurt in Miami on Friday, then rolled it again on Sunday. Took himself out of the game to get it retaped. Finished the game, played Osman overtime, but then missed Monday's game in Milwaukee. Brogdon hurt his back sometime between or during Sunday's game in Miami and the Milwaukee game. Did not play on Monday as well. So we will see what the deal is with those guys if they're able to go. They're both listed questionable. Warren obviously out. The Pistons, Killian Hayes, Rodney Magruder, Jahlil Okafor, and Hemi Diallo are all out. Wayne Ellington, their best shooter by far, is questionable with an adductor strain. Everyone else should be good to go. That's a lot of injury report stuff, which is why I wanted to cover all that, because that's a hefty chunk of Pistons. But really, the Pistons, you know, that Blake's not on their team anymore, they're kind of a one-man show, right? I don't want to belittle the Pistons here. They're clearly in year one of a rebuild. They're trying to establish some defensive identity, but that's really what they are. They're a really solid defensive team. You know, they're actually league average on defense. For a terrible team, being league average at something is impressive. Their offense just leaves a lot to be desired. Jeremy Grant is the one-man show for this Pistons team. He's averaging over 23 points a game this season on moderately good efficiency from a lot of areas of the court. But with Blake gone, they only have two other guys scoring over 11 points a game. Josh Jackson, who shoots 42% from the field, is one of them. The other one is Derrick Rose, who is gone, actually. So they basically have Jeremy Grant and then a bunch of role players who they hope can get going on a particular night. You know, sometimes Wayne Ellington's hitting the threes. Sometimes one of their bench guys goes off, what have you. They just aren't layered in a big way. So against the Pacers, last time, these teams played in February. Pacers got a big win to break their four-game losing streak at the time. The Pacers did a great job slowing down Jeremy Grant. He was 4 for 17. He only had 9 points. That was a big factor in the Pacers running away with that game in the second half. If you recall, I think at halftime it was tied. Maybe the Pistons were up by a little. It was tied. Okay, I was right about that. And then the Pacers ended up winning by 16, right? So they really took over in that second half. And slowing down Jeremy Grant was a big part of that because, you know, it took Josh Jackson shooting 60% for him to get 18 points, and he got a lot of that from the free throw line. He had 8 free throw attempts. Isaiah Stewart had to shoot 8 for 9, right? He had 17 points, excuse me. Man, I can't read today. Isaiah Stewart had 17 points. He averages under 10 a game, just right about 10, but a little under 10 a game. That's per 36. He averages 6 points a game, right? So he's not going to do that well again. Right, so if the Pacers can stick to the game, no one else really did well that well for the Pistons. So if they can stick the game plan they had on Grant, even if Grant does better, right, he's not going to shoot 4 for 17 again. That's even with good defense, that's outlier bad. The Pacers can expect some reflexively bad performances from some other Pistons. And if Wayne Ellington doesn't play, they have no shooting at all, right? They'll be Jeremy Grant and then, you know, Dalon Wright, not a good shooter. And Isaiah Stewart's not a good shooter. Josh Jackson's not a good shooter. Their rookie, Sadiq Bey, is an okay shooter. He's a rookie, like, nothing about the Pistons scares you if you can slow down Jeremy Grant. And that's kind of this whole game to me, because their defense is okay to their credit. You know, they signed some athletic wings. They've got okay interior defenders. Mason Plumlee's a smart guy who can position himself well and is kind of strong. And Sadiq Bey, Sekou Doumbouya, Josh Jackson, Dalon Wright, all these names, they're okay defenders. There's a reason the Pistons aren't just like a laughingstock bad and are just kind of bad. But, you know, the Pacers should be able to do well against those guys, right? Like, no problem. So I think that that's what this game comes down to is if they can slow down Grant again, the Pacers will just win. Because even if the Pistons defense is okay to me, they don't have a guy who can contain Sabonis. Like Mason Plumlee, again, is okay. He probably can't contain Sabonis. We saw Isaiah Stewart definitely couldn't with Mason Plumlee out last time. Sabonis had 26 points on only 14 shots, bullied his way around the court, got to the line a bunch, had 8 assists, right? They were just feeding him through that night. And then when he was out, Turner did really well. Turner was 6 of 9 that game, also had 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. So they just have no answers for the bigs. If Plumlee does play, they'll have a little more of an answer they had last time, Detroit will, but not enough, right? They have, you know, youth typically does not handle Sabonis' post moves well. I talk about that a lot. Plumlee can't chase Turner around. Whatever the matchup is, the Pacers should be able to get an advantage there. Karis was not on the team, obviously. The Pacers will have more ball handling than last time. Wayne Ellington, if he does play, not an awesome defender. Probably the worst defender in the rotation for the Pistons, if we're being honest. So could be a favorable matchup for Karis to shake off a little rust. I asked him after the Pacers game in Milwaukee how rusty he feels like he still is. He said, you know, not very. He didn't say very, but he kind of insinuated that he's got a lot of rust to shake off. Like, he has not played for a long time. So, you know, he'll get there. He'll look better. You know, sometimes he looks like he fits in really well and he's awesome at scoring and getting his spots. And other times he looks like he has no idea what he's supposed to be doing or, you know, who his teammates are on the floor yet. So Karis could be a really big boon this game. If Brogdon plays, he'll obviously be good. Same with Turner. But, they just, because Sabonis has such a favorable matchup and he's not on the injury report, I just feel like the Pacers will have a way to get buckets, basically any, not like a decent look any possession. You know, not that Sabonis is like a free good look, but recently I think something that's helped with Sabonis, he's had fewer of those post-ups where he, you know, takes 4 dribbles and backs down and really slows things down and clogs up the game. Instead, he is catching and looking for a cutter quickly or one dribble and then the pass or set up the next thing, right? I think that's helping a lot, keeping the defense moving, making sure Sabonis isn't clogging up too much in the paint. And I think that against Detroit, again, if they can keep the ball moving like that, that'll be good. And then the bench, you know, the Pacers bench is just like talentedly better. Their bench has not been good this year, the Pacers, but the Pistons bench is worse. So it should be no problem. They were missing a lot of guys last time. The bench was McConnell, Lamb, and Aaron Holiday, and that's basically it. They were playing 8 deep to really try to get this win. So having McDermott with that second unit, again, should other guys be healthy, and Sumner playing more will be a big boon. So I think the Pacers have enough matchups individually that they will be able to thrive in to get a win, even if Detroit's defense is okay, or if Jeremy Grant refluxes and has a great, like, say he has 30 points and the law of average just shakes out between the two games for Grant. I still think the Pacers should win. They're more talented. They've been sneaky at home this year, and, you know, we'll talk about the report from the Ringer in a second about some maybe camaraderie stuff, but they're just more talented. They just are. They beat this team by 16 despite playing a whole crappy half in Detroit earlier this season. I see no reason why the Pacers shouldn't win this game. Get to 20-23. Maybe not back on track, but, you know, get through this week of whatever the distractions are. The schedule eases up a little bit very soon. They basically only have 2 more really challenging games this month, and then they can breathe a little bit. So get a good win, get some confidence, get ready for the weekend, and I think they can do it. All right, so let's get to the stuff y'all want to hear about. First, we'll start with Zach Lowe's ESPN trade column, which kind of jives with what he said on his podcast, as well as Kevin O'Connor via the Mismatch podcast via The Ringer. But first, let's take a little break and first talk about the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, which I did a terrible job teasing, but it's fun to talk about the Player of the Week, who it could be for the Pacers. There's a lot of options, right? Sabonis played pretty well against the Heat. Caris LeVert had some flashes against the Heat. Malcolm Brogdon was amazing against the Heat, but I am going with none other than Miles Turner because, you know, getting that win, clinching the tiebreaker against Miami was huge for this team, and Turner came in overtime, really put his stamp on the game, got some huge blocks, really turned the tides and got the Pacers the win, a much-needed win. So 2 straight wins against good teams is something that has been rare for this team basically since January. So Miles Turner is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Michelob Ultra, of course, it's only worth it if you enjoy it, but it's one of the best beers out there. 2.6 carbs, only 35 calories. You got to enjoy it. Joy creates success, and enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Crack open a Michelob Ultra and find out. And also, we're going to talk about Paramount Plus. March Madness has returned to Paramount Plus, and they have the games you don't want to miss. Watch CBS games live on Paramount Plus, including the Final Four and National Championship game on April 5th. Paramount Plus is also home to year-round sports, including the Masters, PGA Championship, UEFA Champions League, Europa League, NFL, and more. Plus, get breaking news, expert picks, and highlights from all of your favorite teams with the CBS Sports HQ, a 24/7 news network. Visit ParamountPlus.com before March 31st to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus. That's ParamountPlus.com to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus. ParamountPlus.com. Go check them out. All right, let's dive into some reports. We'll do all three. I got to break it up into two segments here because it was kind of a lot in one day. That's how the trade deadline works. There's reports on reports on reports about basically every team. It's just how it goes. It's rapid fire. You got to keep up. Zach Lowe's actually came over the weekend, and honestly, Zach Lowe talked about it a while ago. Maybe not a while ago on his podcast, but some teaser stuff here. So he included the Pacers in his big, giant, massive trade column. It was crazy long. It covered stuff about every team. So I think his summary is in general correct, you know, that the Pacers, you know, most likely do something that they end in stasis or it's a minor deal. That's his words. And I think he's right, but he also said some nuggets in here. So let's talk about him. First one, several teams have inquired about Doug McDermott, per Zach Lowe's league sources. That makes a lot of sense for many reasons. One, you know, we know his value can be higher on the league because he's a shooter. Two, he's on an expiring contract, right? So teams aren't, it's not a long-term investment. If they think, say you're one of the top 4 to 6 teams in your conference and you think you can win a round or two and getting another shooter or a bench scorer could help you do that, then yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for teams to chase McDermott. It's only a short-term investment. So I'm sure that makes a lot of sense, especially because the Pacers are 19-23, so teams maybe think they're selling. Lowe doesn't note anything specific about the Pacers' level of interest in dealing him. But, you know, this came in the context of a paragraph about how the Pacers will have to give small raises or maybe even big raises to McDermott and McConnell this offseason, right? So teams calling about McDermott makes sense. I think that makes sense from, you know, a Pacers standpoint if they are going to sell between him and McConnell. One of those guys would make some sense, just acquire some assets to get a little worse. So McDermott makes sense there. If they trade him, it makes sense why they would. I don't know what any deals are specifically, just to talk about what Lowe said, I think it makes some sense if they're going to sell to trade away a guy with an expiring contract that maybe you don't want to resign. But if they do want to resign him, they shouldn't trade him. And if they want to extend him, same thing. They should not trade him. Okay. Number two nugget from Lowe's piece. Talking about Miles Turner. He said the Charlotte Hornets have strong interest in Miles Turner, sources said. And then named a bunch of assets that the Hornets have that they could make a real offer and that they need the center pretty badly. I agree that the Hornets want Miles Turner. I've heard that in the past, like before this season. I mean, look, Jay Michaels reported on this a lot, but the Cavs and Hornets are the two teams that I personally, my sources are worse than other people's, but have heard the most linkage to Turner in the past. Hornets make a lot of sense. Jay Michael quote tweeted me when I brought up this report, and he said that, you know, he mentioned the same thing with the Hornets and the Pacers' level of interest in PJ Washington being somewhat high. So maybe there's a fit there, but I don't think a Turner trade is going to happen this season. He's been so integral to the operation this year, and I, again, think they want to evaluate this team. With Warren back, with LeVert in a playoff setting with the two centers, just they want to evaluate. So maybe they'll trade him if they get blown away, and that's kind of what Lowe says as well. But I do not expect a Turner trade. But again, there might be a good asset fit there with Turner and the Hornets. The last thing he says, Zach Lowe says, another name to watch is Aaron Holiday because he fell out of the rotation. And he doesn't really say that anyone's interested in him. That's basically why Aaron Holiday is brought up by Zach Lowe here, is because he fell out of the rotation and teams liked him in the past. He also, like me and Adam, talked about wagers against the Pacers getting a first rounder for him. I agree with that. But, you know, maybe if someone comes up calling with that, the Pacers would take it because he's out of the rotation. But again, who knows with him? If they have no future plans with McConnell, they should absolutely keep Holiday. If they want to keep McConnell long term, they should maybe aggressively shop him. Who knows? But those are the three names that come up in the most rumors. Maybe not the most substantial ones. We'll get to that in the next segment. But the most rumors are those three guys: McDermott, Aaron Holiday, and Miles Turner. Zach Lowe had them all. He did not say that the Pacers are shopping those guys. He did not say a deal is imminent for any of those guys. Outside of the Hornets, he did not name a specific team for any of those guys. He just said that there are maybe some names to watch, and the Pacers are in an awkward spot where they're, you know, trying to be good but kind of aren't, but would be if they were healthy and have a new coach and all this stuff. Like, the most likely thing, again, is that probably nothing major happens, but you never know. Again, we'll talk about all this today. So that's the stuff from Lowe and my thoughts on it. I think I basically agree with all of his opinions in this. It all makes a lot of sense, and the reporting is accurate. The other thing I want to bring up in this segment, maybe minor newsy, maybe it could be a major news thing, depending on how you feel about it. The Mismatch, a Ringer podcast. I have not listened to this. I am gathering this info from a tweet and an article. So if I say something wrong here, I apologize. Alex Golden tweeted it. Tom Lewis of Indie Cornrows whipped it up into an article on Indie Cornrows. So this Alex tweeted this as a quote. He said, "Things don't seem good there right now in Indiana," is in parentheses. "I've heard from quite a lot of people that the players aren't super Nate Bjorker and there are some issues with the way the style is there." Tom Lewis, again, similar write-up about the same thing. Aren't super into Nate Bjorker and some of the issues with the style there. Okay, so that would be a problem, obviously. The Pacers are 19-22. So it makes some sense that there would be some frustration about what's going on within the team and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, when you go through a coaching change and then your record gets worse, even if there are a bunch of other factors at play, there might be some frustration between player and coaches there. I tried to sniff around on some of this today. You know, maybe some of the frustration is baked in like a rotation inconsistencies in communication. But I think what I gathered is that a lot of what's going on here is just like general losing frustrations. It's not like anyone has animosity towards anyone or this is heading towards a problem or anything like that. But what I gather is more that, you know, just general losing frustrations and that winning can correct anything. But pretty interesting timing on this report, you know, coming out right before the trade deadline, hearing that players are potentially upset at their coach or, you know, potentially not happy in their current situation. That's always interesting and something to monitor, especially in the context of the second report that we got today. But, you know, it's pretty interesting to see stuff like that. Bjorker runs pretty aggressive stuff on both ends of the floor, which can be hard on some guys as well. Who knows how much any of that factor comes into play. We've seen Sabonis get frustrated in games a few times in recent weeks, days, whatever. I don't know if he's one of the players who, you know, KOC is talking about in his report on the Mismatch, but you know, we've seen that visibly in games to take that to something that we can all see. But who knows if it's anything. I think winning can just cure all with this. You know, once if they get back on track in April, I think that this will be a forgotten story. And, you know, as they adapt to his system and ideas, perhaps some of this stuff, you know, will just get forgotten about. But it's certainly worth monitoring, especially this close to the trade deadline. And I wanted to address it and see where it goes. But moving on, the big report comes from Yahoo. Vincent Goodwill dropping bombs about the Pacers. Let's talk about it. But first, let's talk about Built Bar, the great people over at Built Bar. They're doing Built Bar Madness right now, which is their form of March Madness. They're trying to figure out what the best Built Bar is. We've been talking about Built Bar on this podcast for a super long time, the best tasting protein bars out there, 100% covered in chocolate, delicious, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, low calorie. Amazing tasting protein bars, 100% covered in chocolate, great for the health conscious guy. And the today's matchup in Built Bar Madness, again, tournament style to determine the best flavor, is coconut brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. And I got to say, like I said with David Ramil last week when we were previewing the Heat, coconut brownie chunk is going to be in the finals. It's maybe my favorite flavor. It's super good. If you go to BuiltBar.com, you can use the promo code LOCKED15, all one word with the number 15 at the end. You'll get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15. For 50% off, 15, I always feel like I'm saying 50% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check out to see who won the matchups. Go vote on their website. And also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but college basketball, NHL in full swing. You can get in on some Pacers-Pistons action if you want. BetOnline also covers TV shows, reality TV, award shows, you name it. They've got real-time updated odds and props for it. Anything you can imagine, they've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today on betonline.ag. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you do so, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, the big one, the one that everybody wanted me to comment on today that I didn't really comment on. Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo Sports. Headline, Pacers listening to pitches on Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis could be next. Whoa. That's what the headline is. The little heading under it, Pacers listening to pitches on Brogdon monitoring Sabonis. Here's the text from Vincent Goodwill. Multiple teams are saying the Indiana Pacers are listening to pitches on Malcolm Brogdon and are monitoring Domantas Sabonis as well. On Brogdon, the belief is that the Pacers feel Caris LeVert can man the point guard adequately enough should they get a real deal for Brogdon, who's in the second year of a four-year, $85 million contract. The next part speculates about the Clippers potentially being interested. So let's dive into this. One, multiple teams are saying the Pacers are listening. Does not mean the Pacers are shopping Malcolm Brogdon. And it doesn't even say that they're listening on Sabonis. It just says, and are multiple teams are monitoring Domantas Sabonis. Again, does not mean the Pacers are shopping any of these players. Okay, let's start there. Always read into the wording on these reports because it's not intentional per se, but you can kind of get a jive of what's really going on here. On Brogdon, the belief is the Pacers feel, is the start of the next sentence. I'm doing a lot of micro breaking down of one paragraph from Vincent Goodwill here. On Brogdon, the belief is the Pacers feel. Again, that's clearly not, you know, from the Pacers, obviously. And maybe that's baked in someone's knowledge of the team. That's certainly possible that the Pacers feel that way. And they have been using Brogdon more off guard recently. That does not mean they're, again, shopping Brogdon. And the way this headline is phrased, Pacers listening to pitches on Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis could be next. The way Cameron Stewart, my good friend, tweeted about this is kind of jiving with the way I feel about it. That is a pretty, like, that headline, you first read it and you go, whoa. But if you stop and think about it, unless you're talking about Zion Williamson, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, whatever, like, you're 19 to 23, you're listening to offers on everyone, I hope. You know? Like, I don't think anyone should be off the table. Again, I don't think anything about this article or headline suggests and screams in my face the Pacers are going to be trading one of those two guys. They're trying to be good this year, right? Sabonis said before the season, we want to win a lot of games, we want to go far in the playoffs. I don't think 42 games is going to make them go, whoa, never mind. I don't think that's the case. Two, like the heading says, it's coming from not the Pacers' side and speculating about how they feel about those guys, and maybe they're listening to those calls, seeing what they can get. But I don't think that, again, I don't think that that says, okay, we're divulging from our plans. You know, maybe they're thinking about what the future could look like with Karras on the roster and stuff like that. But just given the level of play, like, they just traded for Karis LeVert, who is good and going to be on the roster. Trading for Karis LeVert and signing Justin Holiday in the offseason are not moves you make to then trade your two best players and get worse and go in the opposite direction. Those don't make any sense in terms of roster building, okay? If they get an offer for one of those guys that they think either improves the team now or is a slam dunk home run for the future, yeah, I think they should take it. They're not stupid, right? Again, they're listening to pitches for a reason. You should always listen on guys that aren't the stars. But I do think that the headline and the article, if you read them, make it seem they point in the direction of other teams are, you know, calling and inquiring about those guys. Maybe that has something to do with the Pacers' record more so than the Pacers are saying this guy's available. What is your offer for him? I think that is two very different things. I do not expect either of them to get moved personally from my own thoughts and intel. I guess intel is probably a little extreme here from what I know about the situation. So yeah, that's the big report, and I get, you know, that's you're going to see a million podcasts tomorrow about teams or articles or whatever about teams fake trades for those guys. Stop reading fake trades on the internet, please. Like, I know it's fun to think about who could move and stuff like that, but you're just getting soiled in your head about valuations of guys that aren't legitimate values, and you're seeing fake trades about guys that aren't actually going to be traded or involved in any trade talks. It's not worth your time. Like, you can think about how a player might fit on a team, but do not come up with a specific fake trade, and do not tweet them at me because I will be angry. I hate the trade deadline so much. I like covering reports and saying, okay, how can this, you know, are the Pacers involved in this or, you know, stuff like that. Like I just did. I just covered a report. But I don't like saying, oh, well, if this guy's actually in the market, they could trade to this team for this guy. That's boring to me. Anyway, Pacers Pistons tonight, we'll see. You know, the games right before and after the trade deadline can be fluky, right? Let's say Wayne Ellington gets traded or is about to get traded. Like, he could literally sit out in the middle of the game. Same deal on the Pacers side. In theory, if someone gets dealt, they could, you know, be a late scratch or get pulled in the middle of the game. So these games are always fluky, but I think the Pacers should get a win right before the deadline, which will be good. We'll get some insight, hopefully, from players and coaches about the reports from Kevin O'Connor. So, yeah, should be great. Thank you guys for listening. We'll have way more info on trade deadline stuff and this game tomorrow. Adam will break down the game. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.